American Ground Radio. Sounds so good. Patriots ask for it by name. In fact, there's going to be an emoji for it pretty soon. Well, that's what I heard. Isn't it? That's not true. That's true, right? Okay.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
American Ground Radio with Louis R. Abalone and Stephen Pross.
This is American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Abalone.
I don't know if you heard this, but Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, he told NBC's Chuck Todd, by the way, apparently
he's moving on.
Well,
he got fired.
He got fired.
No,
Come on.
He's doing long form reporting.
They always say that. He's moving on to bigger and better things.
Here's why he didn't get fired. He's going to still be at NBC doing work for NBC. He didn't get fired.
Chuck Todd was the last choice. Just kind of a side note here.
Uh-huh.
He was the last choice
to
be the new host of NBC's Meet the Press.
10 years ago.
He was the last choice.
Okay, so if it's a temporary gig and it's lasted 10 years, that's a pretty darn good gig.
No, they offered the job to a comedian, Jon Stewart, before they offered it to Chuck Todd.
Which I think says more about NBC's executives than it does Chuck Todd. That was a bonehead move.
Well, I've digressed. Okay. I understand. But anyway, nevertheless, Democrat Senator Joe Manchin told NBC's Chuck Todd on Meet the Press over the weekend that President Biden is being pushed further to the left, that he's being pushed further to the left, and the far left is not, as Joe Manchin says, where the country is. I mean,
those things are that's all true statement. Joe Biden is being pushed further to the left. That is not where the country is. Those are both true statements.
But I think that Manchin is, you know, he's finding himself in an awkward position over the Biden presidency. He's diametrically opposed within the party to both the radical leftists, this whole ideology that is led by Congressman or Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, she doesn't lead the movement. Well, you're giving her way too much credit.
Well, no,
she follows the movement.
But she's part of the squad.
She's part of the squad, but she's not the leader of the far left. She is a follower of the far left.
And the establishment they co-opted, led by Senate Majority Leader Senator Chuck Schumer out of New York. And then you've got, you know, of course, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
But here's how Manchin knows that Biden's being pushed to the left. Because Biden pushed Manchin to the left. The reason we have Build Back Better and all of that, you know, the infrastructure fund, which wasn't about infrastructure, it was about the climate New Deal, right? The reason all of that got pushed through was because they pushed Joe Manchin into saying okay to that. If he hadn't said okay, it would have died. He's the reason that all happened, and the reason he said okay was because Joe Biden was pushing him to the left.
He should have left the party. Manchin should have left the party
like
Kristen Sinema out of Arizona did. She became an independent.
Now, she still caucuses with the Democrats. She still thinks she's closer ideologically to Democrats than Republicans.
But Manchin understands. No, I get that. But he understands that there's more people in the silent majority. That's what he said. He said there's more people in the silent majority of the middle who have no voice whatsoever. So they're forced to their respective corners.
Okay.
Far left and far right.
Okay.
And they're not comfortable there. And here, this is under a president who, during his inauguration speech, said his whole soul was in uniting this country, which was not the first lie that he told the American people, but I think it was one of the largest ones, because his whole soul wasn't in uniting this country. His whole soul was about
demonizing
the
Trump supporters
and preservation of the Biden family or the Biden crime family.
Right.
And preserving his own power.
Yeah, I buy that. I think he's much more interested in keeping his own relevancy than he is about uniting the country. And second to that, in order to keep his relevancy, in order to keep his power, in order to keep the money train flowing from whatever foreign deals he's concocted, he has to demonize Trump supporters. And that's the exact opposite of bringing the country together.
But I think one of the reasons that Manchin is, I guess, singing this song that mm-hmm. he is doing or appeared on this show with Chuck Todd is because he's being challenged for his Senate seat by the Republican governor of West Virginia, yep. Jim Justice,
right.
who is a very popular Republican in that state.
Well, the poll that came out last week had Manchin down by, what was it, 25 points? 22 points.
Yeah, no, the governor has a 22-point lead over him among registered
right.
voters.
Because Manchin has upset the far left by not being far left, and then he upset the middle by caving on the Green New Deal.
But see, Manchin's stance on Joe Biden, it isn't entirely unexpected, though. I mean, these two have found themselves at odds for at least 2 years, but the characterization of Biden as being subjected to the influence of others...
That sounds like something I've been saying since Biden became president.
Yeah, I think that's what screams out loud to be remarked here. Is Biden so weak? And I'm asking this question rhetorically, obviously, but Biden is so weak that intellectually speaking, I do believe he can be artificially steered toward more and more radical leftist policies by those pulling the levers of the party.
Of course he can.
I mean, Biden, for all intents and purposes,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a skin suit.
Yeah.
For the leftist extremist who these leftist extremists long ago hijacked the party of John F. Kennedy.
Okay, but at any point in Biden's political career since the 1970s, name one time Joe Biden stood up and told his party they were wrong. Name one time.
No,
I can't think of any. And that's even as the party's changed positions from the free speech that they used to tout in the 70s, you know, everybody has the right to free speech, to where they are now, which is if you say the wrong thing, you should be canceled. From his party used to believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. Joe Biden used to believe that. Then when the party decided, nope, anybody can be married, Joe Biden's like, oh, yeah, everybody's great. Let's have Dylan Mulvaney over to the White House. It'll be outstanding.
But see, and we have been saying it on this show. Lots of conservatives have been saying it. But what makes this interesting is you have a very prominent Democrat, Joe Manchin,
yeah,
who has the gumption to say it. I mean, he knows.
I don't know if he's got gumption. I think at this point he's
about
desperate.
Survival.
I think he's desperate because I think after he'd made that vote last fall to pass the Build Back Better Act, which is the Green New Deal in new clothing, I think once he pulled that, I think he realized he destroyed his own political career, and I think he's just trying to keep himself above water, or he's trying to get back above water, and I don't think he can do it.
So is Manchin accepting the inevitable here that he's going to be elected or voted out of the Senate?
I don't think he's accepted the inevitable. I think what he's accepted is that Joe Biden has been pushed so far to the left that Democrats in West Virginia don't like him. And anyone who supports Joe Biden will be abandoned by not only the Republicans in West Virginia, but also by the Democrats in West Virginia.
And I think at a more granular level, I think what he's saying is that Joe Biden is a puppet of the radical left.
Oh, he is.
That Joe Biden promised unity. He promised bipartisanship. But his actions have told a very different story.
And
he hasn't worked with Republicans.
Well, and Biden doesn't have enough of an ideological spine to not be able to be pulled to the far left by the extremists of his party. Joe Biden doesn't have principles, so we can't stand on them. Let's get to the top three things you need to know before tomorrow. First thing you need to know before tomorrow, former Vice President Mike Pence is running for president of the United States. The former governor of Indiana officially filed a run with the FEC this morning. Pence has also previously served in the House of Representatives as a delegate from Indiana. And while Pence and President Trump had a good working relationship for most of their administration, they had a big time falling out over the outcome of the 2020 election and the riot on January 6th. In the Real Clear Politics average polls, Pence is currently in fourth place with less than 4% support among Republicans.
Conservatives will never accept Mike Pence.
I don't think most of the party will.
Never, ever.
I don't think he stands a chance. I don't think his polls are ever going
to
go
up. He's a throwback to old style politics. The future is about just being straight with the American people.
I think it's more that either side doesn't know which side he's on, of the Republican side, the conservative evangelical. I'm not sure they're convinced on him. The Trump supporters, they're certainly not convinced on him. I don't see him having a base.
Yeah, what's his why?
And the second thing you need to know before tomorrow, a new law in Tennessee banning drag queen shows for minors has been struck down. U.S. District Judge Thomas Parker said the law was too vague and too broad. In his written opinion, Judge Parker said that speech or shows that are sexually explicit but not obscene are protected by the First Amendment. Tennessee Senate Majority Leader Jack Johnson, who authored the bill, said, sadly, this ruling is a victory for those who support exposing children to sexual entertainment.
Well, you know, again, these acts, what kind of drag show do you think, what do you think goes on at a drag show? I mean, there is sexually explicit material that is discussed. There's
presented.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This isn't Sesame Street.
Well, Sesame Street's pretty far left
these
days.
Well, maybe so.
Okay, and the third thing you need to know before tomorrow, the mayor of North Miami Beach, Florida, was arrested for voter fraud. Democrat Anthony DeFilippo is charged with 3 counts of voter fraud for allegedly intentionally voting in the wrong district during his campaign to be mayor. DeFilippo is accused of living in Davie, Florida, but voting in North Miami Beach 3 times during the 2022 election. Miami-Dade State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle used cell phone data to show that DeFilippo drove from his home in Davie on all 3 occasions to a polling place in North Miami Beach. If convicted, he could face 15 years in prison.
I mean, what was he thinking? 2 extra votes were going to make that big of a difference?
Well, if he didn't live in North Miami, he couldn't be mayor of North Miami. So he had to vote in North Miami so that he could actually be mayor of it, because then he could keep the ruse up. We'll be back.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis Sarr Avalone.
Okay, so presidential candidate, United States Senator Tim Scott, appeared on The View. And, of course, the ladies were having none of...
Well, they don't like him. They've called him a front porch Negro and stuff like that. I mean, they've just said awful, awful things, but they've said bad things about him as they did about Clarence Thomas.
Here you have,
awful, awful
here
things.
Here you have an African-American United States senator, the son of a single mother in the South.
Yes.
He has a positive message on race.
Yes.
And they are just shutting him down.
Because the positive message on race gets rid of the reason for the Democrat Party to exist, which is that Tim Scott's message is, you can do what I did. You can be successful.
Okay. Glad you brought that up, because we've got a clip. Here's where he's talking about why he is on The View.
Uh-huh.
And why it is so dangerous to believe that for a black person to succeed in America is the exception, not the rule. Why it is very dangerous to hold that point of view.
Uh-huh.
Take a listen.
This way. One of the things I think about, and one of the reasons why I'm on the show, is because of the comments that were made, frankly, on this show, that the only way for a young African-American kid to be successful in this country is to be the exception and not the rule. That is a dangerous, offensive, disgusting message to send to our young people today, that the only way to succeed is by being the exception. I will tell you that if my life is the exception, I can't imagine.
But
it's not, actually. It's been
114 years.
Yeah, so the fact of the matter is we've had an African-American president, African-American vice president. We've had 2 African-Americans to be secretaries of the state. In my home city, the police chief is an African-American who's now running for mayor. The head of the Highway Patrol for South Carolina is an African-American. In 1975, there was about 15% unemployment in the African-American community for the first time in the history of the country. It's under 5%.
40%. Homelessness
and 50% of African Americans,
the folks
in our community,
13% of the population.
You had the chance to ask the question. I know that I've watched you on the show that you like people to be deferential and respectful, so I'm going to do the same thing.
That is true.
So here's what I'm going to suggest. The fact of the matter is that progress in America is palpable. It can be measured in generations. I look back at the fact that my grandfather, born in 1921 in Sally, South Carolina, when he was on a sidewalk, a white person was coming, he had to step off and not make eye contact. That man believed then, with some doubt now, in the goodness of America, because he believed that having faith in God faith in himself and faith in what the future could hold for his kids would unleash opportunities in ways that you cannot imagine.
What a message.
He's right on that. But they don't want to hear that because, again, that gets rid of the reason for the Democrat Party. The reason the Democrat Party exists is to make government big. But if you can achieve your own greatness without the government, then why do you need them? Let's get to a question for our American mama. Dear mama, why did the Capitol Police stop elementary school kids from singing the Star Spangled Banner in the Capitol?
Well, let's ask our American mama.
Mama, mama.
And joining us now, our American mama, Terry Netterville. This is a story. There's a children's choir came up to Washington, D.C., and they were from Rushing Brook, South Carolina. And the kids, they got special permission to sing in the National Capitol. You ever been to the Capitol?
No.
No?
Can you imagine how privileged they felt?
How cool it was, right?
Yeah.
You're
going
to get to sing our national anthem in our nation's capital, and here's how it went. So here are the kids lining up. And then they're cut off.
Yeah.
And the director gives them the stop singing sign because a member of Capitol Police walked up to the director and said, y'all have to stop. This is a demonstration. We don't allow demonstrations in the Capitol.
So they're in the Capitol building of the United States,
uh-huh.
and they're afraid these kids, by singing the national anthem,
mm-hmm.
are going to offend people who are there at the state Capitol. Like, what the freak is going on?
I don't understand.
This feels like communism. It feels like hatred for our country. It feels like we're under some sort of weird
totalitarian dictatorship.
Rule. Yes, yeah. It just feels so weird.
Now, Capitol Police has come out after this event because it went viral on Twitter. You know, Capitol Police shutting down children singing, I guess that was the second or third verse of the national anthem. And they're like, no, you can't do this anymore. And people are like, wait, this seems very un-American. The Capitol Police have come out and said, oh, it was just a miscommunication.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're having to walk it back because there's so much backlash. I think now Americans have decided, no, we're not going to be quiet anymore. We've been quiet for so long, for so many years. We've kind of gone with it because we're so afraid of everything. But my sister said, we were talking about this last night, and Lindsay said, why did the director quit? He should have just put his hand up and said, it'll give me 2 seconds and let him finish up. And I wrote back and I said, because if he did not, and there was some kind of scuffle or something that made it bigger, I think he was kind of being in that protective mode of the kids, like, okay,
right.
I'm going to follow the rules. This officer, because we all feel like if you're an officer of the law, especially if you're at the state capitol,
sure.
that we need to mind you. We need to do what you say.
Right.
And we cannot rebel against that in that moment.
There's a time later on to come back and complain and to correct the situation.
Yes.
But in the moment, you do have to follow what law enforcement says.
Yeah. And here's another thing some people are inquiring about. Would they have come in and stopped the singing had this been the Harlem Children's Choir? If these were black children, because these were all white children from South Carolina, and the question was posed, would they have stopped the black children, or would that have been, would have started this firestorm of racism? You know what?
Right.
There seems to be some sort of weird feeling out there that maybe they would have continued on. They would have allowed that.
And there's no real way to know, but it sure feels that way, doesn't it?
It does. It feels backwards. And it feels like we're at an impasse here in America where we have been told that there's going to be two anthems. We have been told that we cannot say Merry Christmas. We have been told that we, as Christians, that, you know, we've been mocked for that. You know, the sisters of... whatever.
Yeah. That's the trans group that's been invited by the Los Angeles Dodgers to come. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to give this group a medal, an award for all of their great works at mocking Catholics.
Yeah, there's actually some brave Dodgers who are speaking out against that.
Which is interesting.
So, and what they're speaking out against is exactly what I'm talking about. You can mock us. You can make fun of us. You can cancel us. You can, if we're protesting something, instead of having the freedom to do so, they challenge us. They said they'll arrest us. You know, we see what they've done to us for so many years that now I promise you people on all sides, all colors, all affiliations are saying no more. This is our country. You are ruining it. And this is one example of how it just feels like under Biden regime, that they're stopping something that's patriotic, and now you see a backlash.
Yeah.
And what do? They walk it back. Wait, no, there was a misunderstanding. No. No, clearly you did not let these children finish our national anthem. You had an agenda. This is one of those times that we're gonna fight back, and I love it because I wondered when this time would come, actually. I wondered what point would we get to? How low would we have to go or feel in order to start rising up ourselves and saying, no more. Not only are we going to sing, but I hope what happens, I hope children's choirs from all over come to sing the national anthem in that same room to prove a point. I hope they come from Harlem. I hope they come again from South Carolina, Texas, Louisiana, Wisconsin. I hope they come. I hope they make a field trip to prove a point. Like, if you're serious, if you really did not mean, if there's miscommunication, you didn't mean for them to stop singing. I hope that the way that we do this is we have all of these children's choirs make a special trip to come sing the anthem in front of the whole world.
If you'd like to ask our American Mama a question, go to our website, AmericanGroundRadio.com/mama, and click on the Ask the Mama button. Terry Nettleville, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And coming up next here on American Ground Radio, we are digging deep. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Choosy moms choose American Ground Radio. It's smooth, creamy, and now contains 7 grams of protein per serving. With Louis R. Abalone and Stephen Parr.
Unburdened by what has been.
What can be. Unburdened by what has been.
What can be. Unburdened by what has been.
What can be.
Unburdened by what has been.
What we can see. What we believe can be. Unburdened by what has been.
What can be. Unburdened by what has been.
What can be.
Unburdened by what has been.
Oh, my word. That's... Let's not do that again. That was awful. That's and welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr.
But see, here's the thing, Stephen, is what can be
yes.
unburdened by what has been.
So what can be unburdened by what has been?
I don't know. But anyway.
Can I unburden something by what was before? Or does the things that happened before, does that just add burdens onto things?
But, you know, this is one of the reasons, and many people accuse her of, you know, basically... Her speeches are word salads, right?
She thinks they are very smart.
Okay.
But they aren't.
You know, as if... She keeps saying it over and over, as if someone...
What can be unburdened
it's
by gonna
what
has been.
Etched in some sort of granite mm-hmm. underneath the bust of Kamala Harris that's going to be in, what, in Congress or at the White House. And
here's what is really annoying about that phrase.
What can be
yeah.
unburdened by what has been.
Because what she's trying to insinuate is that she can see a so much better, brighter future.
Unburdened by what has been.
Yeah, that our past and our country's history, there's nothing of any value in American history. There's nothing of any value in our founding documents. There's nothing of any value in the second sense of the Declaration of Independence. We're going to move forward unburdened by any of that stuff. Dump all that because that's all racist nonsense. Now we get to, look, there is no future for the United States of America if you abandon the ideals the country was founded on, because it's the ideas that have allowed the country to become great in the first place.
So nevertheless, it goes without saying there are folks that are very concerned mm-hmm. should Joe Biden take another fall, for example,
right.
and Kamala Harris would assume the presidency either mm-hmm. Temporarily or for the remainder of Biden's term.
Right.
But there are folks out there, and there's a very interesting argument. This is by a former Deputy Solicitor General of the United States who says that Obama mm-hmm. could be Joe Biden's running mate in 2024. Now, many folks may say, well, wait a minute. The 22nd Amendment precludes that because
yeah.
Obama can't be on the 2024 election ticket because the amendment provides that no person shall be elected
right.
to the office more than twice,
mm-hmm.
to the presidency more than twice. Now, he is precluded from ever running again for election as president,
mm-hmm.
but the amendment does not prevent him or prohibit him from running for any other office, including vice president.
So he could run for vice president, have Joe resign, then he gets to be president, then get another patsy to run for president, he runs for vice president. Basically, he could pull a Putin.
Yeah. And look, and you're not going to alienate the base by getting rid of Kamala, because you've replaced Kamala with Obama,
who's so much better. Okay.
Yeah, it could happen.
It won't, but I guess
it could.
But it won't.
But it could.
Okay, but it won't. Let's dig deep.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down.
Today, Congressman James Comer got a chance to review an FBI document that alleges Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were involved in a $5 million bribery scheme while Biden was vice president. But Comer had to view the document in a secure room in the Capitol and couldn't bring in his cell phone or any cameras, and had to sign a non-disclosure agreement in order to see the document. So we don't really know what the document says. However, there are some things that have been reported that do shed light on some things that we actually do know. First, we know now
it exists.
The document exists, right? So we have confirmation of that. This means the FBI was indeed alerted by a source that Joe and Hunter Biden were allegedly involved in a bribery scheme worth $5 million back when he was vice president.
Okay, so the FBI would have been the agency who had the responsibility and the authority to determine if these accusations were worth investigating.
So they started, they did start an investigation into it. They were alerted to this by the summer of 2020, by the way. That's when this document was created. The FBI then had that responsibility. Now, they should have been investigating. See, the reason is that the form, which is an FD-1023 form, FD-1023, said the information about the bribery was provided by a confidential informant that the FBI has used before. That same informant had been determined to be highly credible in the past. Here's what James Comer said after looking at the document, talking with the FBI agents in that secure room. He said, quote, "The form has not been disproven and is currently being used in an ongoing investigation by a confidential human source who provided information about the vice president by being involved in a criminal bribery scheme, is trusted, highly credible informant who has been used by the FBI for over 10 years and has been paid over six figures."
Wow.
The FBI's paid this person money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, for credible information in the past, over the past decade. The same person gave them information about the Bidens by the summer of 2020. Why didn't the nation know about this by the fall of 2020? See, the FBI sure found a way to let the nation know that they were investigating Russia collusion, which was BS, in 2016, even though the FBI knew it was bull in 2016. They still let the American people know, oh, there's this Russia collusion investigation, right?
Yeah. No,
what's worse is the FBI knew this info was potentially real and true because they trusted this confidential informant. Yet by the fall of 2020, they had branded the information misinformation. And they went on a campaign to get social media and big media outlets to suppress this story and any negative stories about Hunter or Joe Biden.
But that's because they were more concerned with their own political agenda than with upholding the principles of justice and impartiality.
But see, the FBI should not have a political agenda other than upholding the rule of law. That should be their only political agenda.
Yeah, but they don't have a problem investigating Republicans.
Right.
That's completely within their purview, but it is convenient. They've conveniently turned a blind eye to any potential wrongdoing on the part of Democrats.
But see, that is where this really becomes important. That's the main point here. Yes, it is bad if a current and former vice president and his family are engaged in shady deals that make them millions of dollars at the expense of American taxpayers. That's bad. But it's worse if the agency that's supposed to be rooting out corruption is instead covering up corruption committed by members of one party and making up false allegations of crimes against members of the opposition party. And that is what the FBI has been doing since Barack Obama was president.
But see, I think it's one thing for the FBI to ignore troubling signs or to dismiss these crimes, these potential crimes, as irrelevant or unsubstantiated. But look at how they have treated whistleblowers.
Right.
Look at how they have gone after folks who have dared to expose the truth.
Right.
I mean, look at Tony Bobulinski,
right?
The former business associate of Hunter Biden. I mean, he knows firsthand. He has firsthand knowledge of the Biden's family involvement in all of these questionable business dealings. And he was willing to come forward and testify under oath. Yet instead of embracing his willingness to cooperate, the FBI just chose to ignore his allegations. And then they allowed the mainstream media to bury the story completely.
Margot Cleveland wrote in The Federalist today, "More significant to the future of our country is uncovering government actors responsible for violating the rule of law. America can survive select injustices, but it cannot withstand a corrupt bureaucracy that obstructs justice and interferes in elections." And yet, that is the America we live in today. The most powerful law enforcement organization in America is a corrupt bureaucracy that obstructs justice and interferes in elections. And that's why Christopher Wray should be held in contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Merrick Garland should be impeached.
Right.
And that's why the FBI and the DOJ must be dismantled and rebuilt from the ground up.
We are a nation of laws, not of men.
We should be.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone.
Now, you remember during the 2020 election, there was a contract driver that worked for the United States Postal Service that said that he hauled a trailer full, an 18-wheeler trailer full of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania in late October of 2020.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was one of the few things that actually got to be heard in a court. And then they investigated and said, oh, there's nothing there.
Well, now there's a press conference that has just revealed that even the United States Postal Service validates his claims that he did, in fact, haul a trailer full of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania in late of October 2020, and that both the ballots and the trailer went missing. So remember...
Wait. Where's this being reported?
This is new information that was made public at a press conference by the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society, which is a national constitutional litigation organization.
Okay.
And they say they've published the report from the post office... from the United States Post Office that validates what he said, that validates that Jesse Morgan, and that's the contract driver, that he did in fact take 24 large cardboard containers of ballots that were loaded into his trailer. These are, you know, the plastic trays. Some people call them totes or trays, but they were trays of ballots stacked on top of one another. All of the envelopes were the same size. The envelopes had return addresses. They were completed ballots. He sat in Harrisburg for hours, and then he was told to leave. And the supervisor, apparently, much of this has already been reported. Some of this is old news. But now, apparently, the United States Postal Service is validating his position on all of this.
That's crazy. I'm going to wait for some more information on that because we've got to hear some more. I really want the Postal Service to come out and talk about this.
Well, this is a report from the United States. It's a lengthy report, so we can certainly do a deeper dive in this, but it's being reported today. This is a report from the United States Postal Service Office of the Inspector General.
Tell you what, let's get to a bright spot. Well, I finally saw Matt Walsh's documentary, What is a Woman, over the weekend. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
Yeah.
No, I have. That was last year.
Yeah, it came out last year, right? I thought it was a pretty good movie. You saw it?
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was a good movie? It pretty much demonstrates what most of our listeners already know is true, but I think it's pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. But the story of how I and millions of other people got to see the movie over the weekend is frankly fascinating, and I would say it's a bright spot for free speech. It started because this is the one-year anniversary. You're talking about this came out last year. This is the one-year anniversary of Matt Walsh completing the film and airing it on The Daily Wire. The Daily Wire is trying to get into more movie making, both fiction and nonfiction, and they place their films on their website exclusively with a fairly hefty price, right?
Well, you have to subscribe.
Yeah. So since it was the anniversary of this film, The Daily Wire made a deal with Twitter to show the film for free on Twitter on Friday. But that's when the shenanigans started. The chief of Twitter's trust and safety division, Ella Irwin, blocked the film, saying it was harmful. Now, you watched the film. Is it harmful?
I mean, I wasn't offended. Yeah. I don't know what would have been harmful about it.
Well, in the film, two trans people are misgendered. Now, that's not actually correct. Misgendered is one of those words that's politically correct but factually incorrect. So calling someone by their biologically correct gender will get you accused of misgendering. It's very, very Orwellian and not in an ironic kind of way, right?
Mm.
Well, Jeremy Boring, the head of the Daily Wire, pushed back and accused Twitter of backing out on their distribution deal. That's when Elon Musk decided to stand up for free speech. Not only did he decide that the film should be allowed on Twitter, but he also promoted it to all of his followers, making the whole thing go viral very quickly.
Mm.
The Daily Wire then decided to let the movie run for free on Twitter, not just on Friday, but all weekend long. So over the weekend, 170 million people watched the film, What is a Woman?
I'm sorry.
170 million people were able to watch this film over the weekend. What's more is the people who watched it generally thought it was a good film. What is a Woman is the number one rated streaming movie on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Matt Walsh tweeted, "The film has been seen by millions of people, but still only six movie critics have dared to review it, and none of them are from major mainstream publications."
Well, look, yes, it does challenge societal norms. It explores the complexities of gender identity.
Yeah.
And yes, it may be considered controversial, but it's not inherently offensive.
Or harmful.
I mean, I think it explores gender identity in the principle. I think it does it with respect.
But one of the things that I noticed in the film, if you watch it, over and over, people that are pushing the transgender movement don't want you to ask them questions about it. They end the interviews, or they threaten to end the interviews because Walsh asked basic questions. They say, why are you asking that question in that way? They won't answer the questions because the answer undercuts their own logic. They know it deep inside. But if your ideas don't stand up to scrutiny, then you have bad ideas. What is a Woman exposes that, and I think that's a bright spot.
I couldn't agree more.
We'll be right back with more American Ground Radio. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Paul with Louis Saar Abalone.
We were just talking about how 170 million, and it's not just Americans, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's people around the world.
170 million views all across, all around the world.
For the movie What is a Woman?
But, you know, it is important, I think, and especially those who may disagree with the premise. I think it is important. I think it's essential to approach a film like What is a Woman with an open mind and a willingness to engage in thoughtful dialogue. Now, again, some may find certain aspects of this movie challenging or uncomfortable.
But the question is why? When you're uncomfortable about something, ask yourself why, especially when the logic is there. If logic is hurting your feelings, you need to be asking yourself why.
Right, and the movie, it examines the concept of womanhood. It questions the traditional definitions associated with
it. No. It doesn't question the traditional definitions. It says, why have we abandoned the traditional definitions of womanhood?
No, I think in interviewing some of the activists, some of the so-called scientists.
Right.
They question it.
No, they don't even question. They simply ignore that there ever was a traditional. When he asks these people over and over, what is a woman? Their response is, whoa. Whoa, whoa!
When I say whoa, I mean whoa.
And Justin Mariani is a good boy. You see, Justin is Grace Mariani's service dog. Grace needs Justin's help to get around, including attending her classes at Seton Hall University. Every class she went to, Justin was there alongside for 4 years. Well, last month, Grace graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Education. Of course, Justin helped her get up on the stage and travel across the platform to pick up her diploma. And when they reached Seton Hall, University President Joseph Nyer, in addition to giving Grace her diploma, Nyer gave Justin a rolled-up diploma for perfect attendance. And Justin, as he took his diploma in his mouth, the audience cheered.
It is woman's best friend.
May your pursuit of happiness bring you joy.